Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, I think. I don't know if Nancy is still on the call or not, but
I am. I'm just trying to figure out my sound somehow. I don't want to get into it. It's just it's just kind of really quiet, so I'm just going to figure out my settings. Okay.
Okay. Well, I've got some technical stuff here too, and based on little discoveries around the house, I think we probably lost power during the night. Because my computer had gone down, and I had to bring it up again, you know, little things like that, telltale signs that power came down a little bit for a while. And I didn't realize till I tried to log into you guys that I only had 3% energy in my phone. So I'm staying close to my charger so that we don't lose contact during the call. Nancy, thank you so much for being here, starting us up, and we're going to be fine now. I made an elective decision last week and discussed this with Nancy. We had been reading over the remainder of The Miracle of Life from last weekend, and we both decided that it's a little hard to take in when someone's reading it to you. It's like a lot of scientific information that would be really, really easy to understand if you were reading it, where you could go back and reread the previous passage again yourself, or maybe for a second time or third time again yourself. Nothing he ever says is hard to understand. But some things are kind of dense, and you got to read them again. So I just decided to take you through it myself with a little bit of summary where that's necessary. And otherwise, we'll just glide on through it, and I'll make comments as we go. And comments from you, Nancy, would also be very, very welcome. As I went through it today, and again, well, from yesterday and again today, I got the definite impression we could have gone through this two more weekends, but let's try to make it this weekend so we can move on. But I don't want to be in any way dismissive of this chapter. It's one of the most important chapters in all of the keys of Yeshua from the standpoint of life management, health, and making a major step forward in how much life you have to work with. A major improvement over how we can go about life extension without trying to manage it just with supplements or exercise or whatever else we might choose to do. Life is around us everywhere. It's not just in our body and then there's air around us or a chair beneath our sit upon. It's not just in case. In packages, we tend to think, well, life is kind of functional and encased in packages inside our body, like we've got organs, we've got a liver, a stomach, a heart, lungs, and so forth. And if we keep all of these in shape, then they'll communicate and they'll do their job beautifully. And if we have problems with one, well, we'll work on that and we know it'll help everything else. That's all logical and true, but it's really, really not how life ultimately works. And I'm going to actually read you a couple of the last patch. I'm going to go all the way to the end of this chapter and read you a couple of paragraphs that close it off because his voice is just so, so beautiful in that. And it's so, so wonderful to hear what he has to say about it. this chapter is just filled with miracles. And faith, all the things he taught us. Okay, getting there. Now, I asked him toward the end of the conversation where we had, that we had on this, I think it was a couple of days, but anyway, I've written it as if it was one day because it's one subject. And so I just asked him, I said, one more question that's welling up from the depths of my heart. Does health restore life, or does life restore health? I still think that's a good question. Okay. And here's what he said. I now have a strong, and let's see. Oh, yeah, I said further to him, I said, I know from everything you said, I have a strong feeling that you're going to say life restores health. And then he opens up and confirms what I said, and he says, that is correct. And you and others may do the same to the degree that you understand life. When you support, enhance, and magnify life, healing will follow. Life is the source of health and happiness. Life is not only in you, but all around you in abundant supply. The true reserves of energy are maintained, magnified, and distributed because of unity. And the whole sustains all its parts. Anyone can heal who remembers his or her union with God. A healer is merely a facilitator who brings forth a greater abundance of life and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Love and faith accomplish this, although consciousness plays an important part, because it supplies the information and understanding to administer to life more effectively. Otherwise, all procedures are only temporary measures. Skilled treatment can arrest disease and trigger awareness in the body that healing is now being supported and requested. Ultimately, all cures come from a greater cause. The miracle of life is that the whole remembers and supports all of life within it. The parts and the systems do not have to recreate themselves or repair themselves. The whole remembers and loves. To redeem any part of your life, you only need to remember the whole and honor it. The whole will remember you and honor you. There's a quote from Rumi, you know, the Persian poet, that I really, really love. And I think it's a brilliant combination with what I just read. Someone asked him about whether he was part of the universe. And he said, I am but a drop of water in the universe. But the whole of the universe is but a drop of water within me. So there's a dialogue, according to him and his perceptions. There is a dialogue, an eternal dialogue between the whole and the parts. You are, in fact, a drop within the universe. But the whole of the universe is a drop within you. and it's all there. And the same goes along with your body. Yes, you have a number of distinct organs in your body. Even your skin is an organ because it's all under the same management system and creative system and maintenance system. It all works together. And actually, healing one part of your skin can contribute to healing all of it. I have experienced healing, well, it was kind of like a wart, sort of, maybe. The doctor was a little worried that it might be not malignant now, but pre-cancerous. She removed it. It healed. And other irritations that I had on my skin all cleared up. One part can clear up the rest. On the other hand, there was another option she gave me, and it was to clear up the allergies and the little inflammations I had all over my body. She said, if we clear that up, this mole may just go away. You see, this is really advanced medicine, treating the whole and the part as having an integrated dialogue. And apparently all of life is that way. So we're gonna go back to the beginning of this. Well, it's not the beginning. It's the third part of what we're treating. And for those of you who don't have a book, well, I'll try to make this as clear and easy for you as you can. For those of you who own the book, please go back and read for yourself after this is over, because it's really important for you to learn this in all of your approaches to medicine, whether it's classical, clinical medicine, or whether it's holistic medicine or dietary medicine, social therapy, prayer, whatever you're doing to make your life work better. Remember always that the whole and the parts work together. There's really no such thing as separation in the creation of God. There's only what I would say designation of function. In other words, your liver has a designated different function from your heart. It doesn't mean they don't work together. It doesn't mean they're not synergistic. And making one stronger can and will make the other stronger. The same is true about natural integrations. That what we don't need. Not only am I against herbicides for their destructive presence in our life, but also because of the stupidity they represent. They are so completely unneeded. If you put the right forms of life together in life, they will become synergistic, and they will take care of the function of life, give you what you're looking for, and get you what you need. This is the real science behind organic gardening. It's not just about you don't use fertilizer. It's about you use the right synergistic combinations in life. And when you do that, does it make sense to you that all of the food you eat will carry that synergistic unity? I think a lot of people think that organic just means, well, there won't be any antibiotics in it. There won't be any herbicides in it. No pesticides in it. It'll be, basically, it'll be deprived of a lot of things you might have if it was growing wild. But actually, correct organic gardening or farming, the same with grass-fed beef or dairy without antibiotics, that is, on grass-fed grain, well, it produces a synergistic whole that helps to make your life whole. And so the miracle of life overall, if I was going to bring it down to one basic concept, is that it's about harmony. It's about synergy. And we get to, there's a place, I want you to remember that when we get to one place I'm going to cover for you in this chapter. And it has to do with the fact that all of life is created around open and closed systems. We touched on that last time in the beautiful reading that Nancy did. And we got to the point where this beautiful, mostly open system of our cosmic universe. And I say mostly open because only just one moment, gotta have a sip of water. Only the quantum universe is completely open. But once it begins to adapt to different combinations of atomic life and forming chemical solidities that unite and aggregate into larger forms, well, it begins to produce closed systems, which is why the chemical composition of lead is different than the chemical composition of gold, because both are closed systems. And we know as humans that some of these metals or chemicals we cannot tolerate in our human body. We can't have lead in our body without creating major malfunctions or disease. Other chemicals we can have, for example, calcium, but not in all forms of calcium. So it breaks down to where what we're looking at once we get into closed systems, we're looking at compatibility. And also, we're looking at something else very specifically, and that has to do with the polarity necessary to create energy. And energy at different frequencies, different vibrational lengths, different powers, and different functions and coordinates of energy. These are produced with polarity. So compatibility and polarity are a definite part of closed systems, whether they're solid and chemical, or whether they open up into constructions of life. Now, at a certain point in the development of, and this universe did develop in stages. Not everything happened at once. So when we study the story of Genesis, that there were different stages of life unfolding. That's quite true. It's a well-studied scientific fact or truth, because, well, truth is a little deeper than facts, but we'll just say fact. It does function that way. By the time we get to the point in the creation of this universe, these very, very fine particles of energy begin to unify in, shall we say, collaborative ways. They're communicating. These little tiny particles of energy are actually communicating. They're desiring to unify or avoid, to move closer or to move away, and so forth. And through their various communications, they form little tiny, tiny particles, smaller than a cell, that are called vesicles. And vesicles have a wall, just like a cell. Cell has a wall, so that there's an inside, and there's an outside. This is a critically important transition in creation, because inside those vesicles, that little vesicle can decide, well, what do I want to grow up to be? No different than a baby human. Well, yeah, but I don't want to be that. I want to be this. And so it begins to develop little coordinating interest. Let's say an affinity toward something, a disaffinity with others, and then a collaboration with still more to start forming the tiniest, most innocent forms of reality, because it's forming agreements with other little vesicles. And these little vesicles eventually become cells. And cells go through the same process of deciding, well, what do I want to be? And they aggregate with other cells that then become different forms of life. So there's difference and similarity, but there's also functionality and unity. Now, this is going to be characteristic of life all the way to the creation of elephants and eventually human beings. We are made up of likeness within one person, likenesses and differences, coordinations, and the little cell walls, and the walls of an organ that keep the chemistry working inside an organ different from the chemistry working inside a different organ, which is why we tend to treat them differently. So these, all of life is made up of freedoms and boundaries. The freedoms are what unity flows in coordinated patterns to communicate and to unite and function together and build the unity of what it is and what it's doing. Overall, there will eventually be a whole, that this flow of energy, the development of inner parts, and the functionality internally creates a baby body. We could say a baby fly, a baby elephant, or a baby human being. Eventually, a little baby is created. And all of life is created inside a womb that protects this life growing and allows it to grow into what it is. And then it's allowed to have its own life. But its own life only functions if it knows itself as a whole. This is what little baby humans are struggling with, to really deal with the fact that, where's mommy? I might need mommy any minute now. I'm hungry. And then, you know, here I am. I need, and I want to touch things, and I want to explore things. I want to open my eyes and look around. I want to see all that stuff out there that I might want to play with. So, in other words, it begins to discover the outside, but it also still has to manage the inside. All right, somewhere along the line, that inside begins to decide, well, this is me, and that's that. In the beginning, I don't really think there's much of a difference, just a little bit, enough to know that I need mommy close by because I really, really might get hungry. You know, enough. I might need protection. I got to have help. So, and got to have daddy. And who are those others that look kind of like me, but they're bigger? I might need them too. All right. But there's not a lot of difference between yourself and these other amazing entities that look a lot like you and function a lot like you. And, gee, aren't they great? But the more we begin to determine that this is me and that's them, that's when we have an inside and an outside. But we forget a little bit that the outside is not the only place that needs to be explored. We need to keep exploring the inside as well, the whole of our life. We need to keep building this state of heart and mind called integrity, called, what is really basically our character and our true identity. And all of our life, we will be driven to develop this understanding of self and the fact that self exists. So we get into adult life and we encounter a lot of these closed systems because they do begin to exist. In other words, you can't get into college unless you've graduated from high school. You might be able to work around it with a GD. Or some other workaround. Of course you can. But there's still a closed system. You got to get through college. Not necessarily. You'll find other alternatives. But they're not without their closed system. An employee, try to get a job. The employer's going to ask you, well, do you know how to do this? And you'll think to yourself, well, gee, I've never done it before, but I'm sure I can. And your employer says, well, go and do it, and then come back and apply for the job. And you go, oh no. We're encountering closed systems all along. Now, most of the time we can deal with that, and it's part of our learning process. But then let's just say we have a biological functioning problem. I'm not going to call it disease because I don't even like that word. But it's biologically not functioning. And so you go see a doctor, and your doctor gives you a diagnosis. Well, it's a this. It's that. Now, you're not managing your sugar properly. And you'll say, well, what's that? So you virtually got to get another degree to understand what type 2 diabetes is all about. And then you've got to learn what foods to eat and not to eat. Here you go. More separation. More different inside systems.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to treat these. And I'm not saying you don't get good advice, because up to a point, all of this advice is good learning, important learning for management of your health. But after a while, you're going to get tired of that, because you're dealing with one closed system on top of another, on top of another. And you say, well, where am I in all of this? Where am I? And that's when you get to a critical point where you want to say, look, I've got to be in charge of this. There's got to be something about me that can fix this. And maybe at that point, for the first time, you take your relationship to nature and to God seriously. And you get into holistic thinking and you start putting the pieces together. You put the pieces together and things work better. And then one day, you're just out in nature, you're walking through the forest, and you feel yourself being one with the forest. And then you think, this is it. This is what I want. And you decide to go to a farmer's market. And you feel yourself being with every kind of food in that market. You say to yourself, yes, I'm going to use wisdom, but I'm going to eat what my body wants. I'm going to honor my body. I'm going to consider that God made my body and God doesn't exist in bits and parts. I'm going to do it with intelligence and wisdom to guide myself. But yeah, I'm following. I'm following a greater instinct because I want the freedom to be whole. And I want the freedom to open up to the larger system of nature and the universe. There's a quote in the Old Testament. I can't remember exactly which one it is. No, I mean verse. You know, through all your time with me, is I don't remember Bible phrases because my mother clobbered me with them. She was someone who'd probably read the Bible cover to cover 100 times in her life, and she could tell you every verse. Every line in the Bible. And she's got one for everything. And so I promised myself, I'm going to look at this holistically. And so anyway, I apologize that I don't know where this is from. I'm sure you've heard it before. It says, God says, he who honors me, he will I honor. I have followed that all the days of my life. And any time I have a little stretch of duress happening in my life, I pray, but I don't pray for the problem. I pray for wholeness that will include the problem in it. Because even the problem are part of my life. And when you accept those problems, separation ends. It ends. Gone. Literally, I have been through miracle after miracle, and every single one of them works that way. I had hip replacement 2010. The nurses had me up walking before the day was over, like they do with everybody. But most people were screaming or crying a little bit because I could hear down the corridor what was going with everybody. Well, I just got up and walked. And she said, that's fantastic. And she said, would you like to walk down the hall? And I said, sure. Well, we'd walk down the hall and back. And everything progressed. I never had one single screaming day. 2 weeks later, I was driving my car. Now, I'm not bragging because I didn't do it. But what I did is I just simply accepted that my body needed to perceive the pain because that's how it healed itself. I knew that my body had a language of pain that took it to every part of my body that needed attention. That's all it's about. And I said, okay, just go ahead and feel whatever you need to feel. Let's do what we need to do. In other words, I put it inside the hole. It's not something I wanted to get rid of. I wanted to accept. And accepting it made it part of the whole. And then the whole completely resolved the pain. It's just like Yeshua said to me on the part which I just read to you. He said, the miracle of life is that the whole remembers and supports all of life within it. Pain is also part of life. Continuing what he said, the parts of the system do not have to recreate themselves or repair themselves. The whole remembers and loves. To redeem any part of your life, you only need to remember the whole and honor it. The whole will remember you and honor you. The whole is God. When you realize... Yes.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, Yeshua told us that life is love in action. And he has said that, you know, life is a flow. And sounds like in your experience, you were saying, you weren't saying no to it. You're letting it flow through you and, you know, not focusing just on the parts and getting caught up in, you know, we get all caught up in structure and looking at the parts and getting bummed out by the parts. And so the vision's not there to see. And, you know, I can hear everything you're saying much better from my heart than I can with my mind. But, yeah, there's just, it's very huge, everything what you're speaking of. And I encourage everyone to re-listen to everything you said because it's just incredibly helpful for healing and living and just being in this world to transform it from what's going on, because we're, you know, fighting against things and against each other. And instead of seeing the perfect whole that can be healed and is always there, I mean, that's where he said, be still and know I am God. Go within. There's that wholeness there. But just thank you for everything you've shared.
Well, I've learned it from him, and some of it I've learned from applying what he taught me and realizing that, yeah, this really works. And that's not to say that I can do it all the time or all of it. I would not want to hang on a cross. I could not sustain that level of pain, but he did, because for him, everything he did in that passage of time was life. It was part of his inevitable life. It was not a separation from life, which is why they couldn't kill him. He didn't separate from life through all he suffered. They couldn't kill him. He rested. Yeah, they put him in a tomb, and he rested. Well, who would wonder that he would need to rest? My goodness. But he didn't die. He just simply suspended the activities of life, which were unsupportable in that current condition of being injured, beaten up, and tortured. So he never suspended his life. He never. He just brought it through whatever it needed to go through, and he arose. And this is how he called back. I never really asked him. I should have, but I didn't ask him, how did you raise Lazarus? Because he was already totally dead in necrosis and thinking. But I think what he would have said is, I remembered the love, and the love restored the whole. I think he would have said that, because it's almost identical to the passage I just read to you from this chapter, where he said, to redeem any part of your life, you only need to remember the whole and honor it. The whole will remember you and honor you. See, he loved Lazarus. They were like best friends. He cherished him, and he wept, actually, to learn that Lazarus had died. Went to his grave and brought him back to life. So I would think the love they shared was an unbroken filament of energy that had never dropped off, never broken, and he just reactivated it and lifted him out of the grave. So this is how we have been given immortal life, to live on as a soul. And a lot of people really do believe the body will be reconstructed when he comes back. And I honor them in their belief, because if that is their belief, it will happen, because his love is certainly capable of doing that. Those who think that, well, the soul will take care of my immortality, I'm sure that's true too. The ways of God are unlimited. The ways of God are infinite. And his love never breaks. Never breaks with your life. And so your life with God is immortal. And I might actually prefer to have a different kind of body that could run further and lift more and never get tired. But, you know, that can be added to anything. And it's all added through love. And it's all from the grace and the power of God. Anything is possible. Anything is possible by the grace and power of God. And we just have to, I would say, honor the whole as we know it. Whatever the whole is for you, it might just be the whole of your body, but it might be more than that. It might be the whole of your life, your family, your community, everything that's been part of your life. Honor the whole. And the whole will heal you. And the whole can be different for different people. It's being studied now, and I think this is relevant to what we're talking about here. It's being studied now in some serious discussions and scientific studies about life extension, what it takes to live past 100 years. And they're finding that the number one way is with social cohesion. Others that you are with, that you make a life out of, that you love and they love you, and you coexist socially. And
relationship.
The isolation.
Relationship. Exactly. Well, right? Patterns. Yeah.
Love and the whole, the greater wholeness that love can create. So, I had underlined a lot of things in this chapter that I thought would be a good thing to share with you, and I will go through them and see if there's anything I missed. Well, there's a lot I missed, because it's really about 5 pages long. It's a long chapter. But, oh yeah. Well, you got to read it.
I was reading today, Glenda, in Love Without End and Bridges, and Yeshua said, as you look for solutions, seek for wholeness. He said, the bridge to wholeness is an increasingly broader perspective and an increasingly greater inclusion of life. And that's everything you said today. You just broke
exactly.
It down, though. You know?
Yeah.
You have to include it all. You have to. You have to include it all. You can't reject. You don't reject it or get caught in the regrets of the past or the worries of the future. It really puts you squarely right here now where life is. It's inclusive.
It does. Yeah. And there was one thing I was looking for, and I, I haven't found it, so I'm just going to paraphrase, and I hope I get it right. He was talking, I was asking him if he could help me understand open and closed systems a little better in the larger realm of the planet and cosmic systems. And he said, well, I'll give you a good one. I think you can understand. And he said, it's the ocean. And I went, I haven't done much ocean traveling. I mean, I'm pretty much a land girl, raised on a farm, worked on a ranch, hiked up the mountains and so forth, ridden horses and so forth. So, and I don't get much closer to the ocean than enjoying a beautiful, beautiful beach. So, he said, well, just imagine this. You've been to a beach. Now look at the waves. They're, especially when there's a little bit of turbulence in the air, those waves are going to be high. They're going to be moving. They're going to be breaking and folding over, the kind of thing a surfer would like. But they can actually be too high for surfing to be safe because there's a lot of action on the surface. Now, the reason is because it's encountering wind. It's encountering the electromagnetic field moving and drawing the tides up. He said there's a lot of interplay of elements at the surface of the water. And he said, so what you see, pardon me, just a second. Okay, so what you see at the surface are closed systems. You see the wind, you see the water, and you feel the magnetic force pulling the tide in. So you've got different systems interacting, and those different systems are what cause the waves. But now, if you were a whale and you were down a mile deep in the ocean, all you would feel is motion. It was just motion. No significant activity, no wind, no force, just ever-flowing harmonious motion. Well, he said, that's what an open system looks like and feels like. So that's the way it is in quantum space. Just motion. Harmonious. Harmony moving with harmony. Finding its own pathways. Sometimes little different flows, but it's all driven by harmony. And that's pure motion. On the surface, it's movement. It's change. It's development. I said, okay, I got it. He said, no, you don't. And I said, okay, tell me. And he said, most of your life is all about movement. It's about change from day to night, seasonal changes, changes from sleep to activity, hunger to eating, satisfaction to discomfort. He said, your whole life is full of these elements of movement and change. Now, go into deep sleep. He said, just imagine the next time you go into deep sleep and you go really deep and you contact the inner depth of yourself. You've gone into actually an open system. And he said, this is why sleep, deep sleep, not just napping, but deep sleep, is so refreshing, because you actually pull in energy and life from the open systems of the universe. And this is why so much healing occurs in deep sleep, because you actually are pulling in harmonious flows of pure emotion, and that pure emotion recreates the whole of your body, and your body heals. Your body rests, and you wake up as if you've entered a new day, which you have. And God gave you that new day because you literally went to open space. And then I said, oh, my Lord, I got it. And he said, yeah, I think you did, for a while, until you lose yourself in change again. And I chuckled and I said, well, you know me pretty well. But I just wanted to pass that on to you. So don't underestimate the power of pure and deep sleep. It's one of the most healing things you can do. Now, you can get close to it, or sometimes as good as, in meditation and prayer. Sometimes in prayer, I feel so connected to the whole of humanity that I know my prayers are having an effect. I know it. I can feel it. Sometimes I get so deep in my meditation that I literally connect with the angels or beyond, most especially the Holy Spirit, and I'm completely renewed on the other side of it. We go into the open systems when we go into deep meditation and deep surrendering prayer. This is why Yeshua told his disciples, don't go out to the street corner and chant prayers to impress other people. Don't go out and make a show of your prayer. He said, go into a quiet closet and close the door and be with God. See, this is what he was telling him. Go into the place where you can actually connect with the inner space that's available deep inside you. Deep inside you. He would go out to the desert to meditate. Why? Because nobody would leave him alone if he was anywhere within 1 foot of another person. He was touched on, talked to, interrogated, invited to supper. There were people around him constantly. They wanted to learn more. They wanted to hear more. If he wanted to go into deep meditation, he had to go where there were no people.
And I
didn't ask him, so I can't tell you for a fact. But I think he also fasted when he was there, at least moderately. Maybe he took some water with him. Maybe he took a loaf of bread that he spread crumbs out over 40 days. I don't know. So that part I'm just leaving to his privacy. But he did go for 40 days. And that takes a lot of discipline. It will definitely quiet down the body. And there will be no digestion occurring in that period of time unless you took a few sandwiches with you. It's quiet space. That's what he wanted. He needed the strength that came from that quiet space.
And whatever
gets it done for you, practice it.
Yeah.
For some people,
they find it in yoga. Other people in Tai Chi. There's a lot of ways we can get to the deep inner space where all of the activity stops. And we get into a place where we're feeling and engaging with wholeness. Find ways to do that for yourself, because you are both sides of this system.
not just one.
Amen.
And
loving one another.
Yeah, we're at 3:59. How perfect is that?
We have two callers, and
okay,
that's perfect.
We'll take them.
We'll take them. Do it. You did make me think of that. We always mentioned it. Two commandments: love one another, and you know the experience of caring and loving puts you in a place of understanding life so much better. And it's amazing.
Absolutely.
That told us. Here we have Caroline. We're so glad you're here. Hi. Can you hear us? Your line is open. You have to unmute yourself, Caroline.
Yes.
Caroline.
Yes. I think that you can hear me now, right?
Yes, we can.
Good. Yeah. I was just saying it's such a deep subject. As you said, you do have to read this stuff through over a number of times to really get it, because there's so much in there. And I'm having one of the reasons why I call this, because I'm having an issue with somebody, and it was really probably from my mistake. I cut down some trees that I thought were on my property, but they in fact were on the property of a neighbor, so it appears. And he's incredibly annoyed with me, very, very angry, and I'm trying to see how I can resolve it. But I would like to have prayers to have this smooth out, so that we can have, you know, wholeness in the area we live in, and wholeness in terms of the relationship between me and neighbors around me. So, and this is probably an issue where it was my mistake, you know, rather than this guy doing anything wrong, but he is very, very annoyed with me. So it would be great to have a blessing to have that resolve. There are a couple other things I wanted to mention, but that was the main thing I wanted to bring up for today.
Okay, we've got it. And I think it probably would start with just a simple forgiveness.
Well, if he's willing to forgive me, because I was the one most likely that did wrong to him. Yeah, yeah. So
you can ask for it.
Yeah, I suppose so. That's a good thing to ask for. And
the worst thing to do is to try to explain yourself in it and justify it in any way, or help him understand all your reasons and why you made the mistake. You know, there's nothing that replaces the simple two words, please forgive me. Three words.
Right. Right. And that's true of so many situations. You know, we need to forgive others. We need to forgive ourselves, and other folks need to be willing to let go to forgive us. And I think if that were around the world, we wouldn't have as much conflict as we see.
That's right. It actually does take those three words. It takes exactly those three words to obtain surrender from fighting.
Right.
Because you can't get any more basic than that. No matter what justification you present in any situation, there's always an argument for it. There is no argument for please forgive me. When the war stops. That's when the fight stops.
Yeah.
And that's when you conquer separation and bring wholeness. You bring wholeness.
And I think we do need a blessing for all the people who are suffering from this extreme weather that we're having in the United States right now. Some people are really suffering, and so we need our prayers going to those folks to have the weather improve and have them able to be released from it. Because I think if the electricity goes and you don't have heating, I mean, that's pretty bad news for a lot of folks at the moment.
I know. I've been through that in the great freeze of 2021. I had no power at all, no heat for 10 days.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad. And I think about 300 people died in that freeze. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. So that's a big blessing needed for that going on right now.
Yes. So there are multi-thousands of people who went through that one, and their empathy for everyone in this one is enormous. There are people who would drive and take food. I mean, I've never felt such a spirit. I went out 2 days to shop, and the spirit of people in the lines was not at all impatient. It was like, can I go get something for you so you don't have to break in line? It was just like that. Everybody was there for everybody else because we had empathy. We've been through it before, and we know how bad it could have been. Thank God this isn't as bad as that one was. And we've all been praying for each other. So we open the net for more prayers and more prayers that the Amen. Sun may come out tomorrow.
That's
Amen.
Right. Thank you, Caroline. We love you. We're so glad you called in today and that you're always here with us. Glenda, I have one more caller. Susan. Hi, Susan.
It is.
Hey, Susan.
Oh, it's crazy. This weather is crazy here, and I was very nervous about the storm that we're in the middle of, but it's been pretty good so far, and I have eternal gratitude for that. But a few things I want to say. First, I wasn't going to say this, but Caroline spurred this, you know, with what she shared. And I speak with women. We've been doing this for a million years, you know, a very long time, doing a step study group over the phone because we don't do it in the church anymore since COVID. And we changed our times a little bit because one of the gals has breast cancer, so we're accommodating to, you know, her schedule. And I was trying to get myself ready for this, you know, storm that was coming. And I came in the house and completely forgot about, you know what we were going to do over the phone, five women, you know, to do this step study group. And I went, So apparently another gal forgot too. And the other gal, you know, said, I don't know what she said, but she basically said, you know, we didn't get a reminder. We usually get a reminder. And I, on the thread, said, all I can say is my doing. And I'm, you know, my fault, if you will. And I'm really sorry. You know, I didn't get into why it happened or anything. And I thought to myself, you know, would have been better off if this other gal didn't do that too. I get it. But, you know, we are where we are and we do what we do. And all I could say was I was sorry. And the next day was my turn to take the call, you know, and let people call in to me. And I, you know, in the afternoon, I said, I'm here. I will be here at 6 o'clock. Call in to me. You know, it was like my way of making things right. But nothing I could say other than the fact that, you know, I made a mistake and I came home and I went, oh, my God. You know, I completely, you know, did not, you know, click about what we were supposed to do. So that's in relation to, you know, what Caroline was talking about. But the other two things was sometimes when I hear you talking, Glenda, and then I heard Nancy say things. And when the vision was like a gift package with ribbon around it. It's as though she types what you say and verbalizes it in ways that, you know, blow my mind when I hear the two of you. There's such synergy in all of that. And so she wraps it up, you know. That's why I see the package. And
That's great.
Oh, yeah, it's really incredible. But the biggest reason why I called in was that in everything you were saying, Melinda, I wound up talking to my kids on a thread, you know, talking about what we're expecting in this, whatever. So, and they're telling me, oh, my God, we're watching something on Netflix. I said, this guy's climbing a building, and it's live. I said, get out. So I turned it on yesterday, and I couldn't believe what I was watching live. And it was a testament to an individual who had a lifelong dream to climb a skyscraper from the time he was a young boy. And he trained. And he wouldn't do it in the States because it's illegal. But he got the okay to do this in Taiwan. And it was called The Skyscraper on Netflix. And I thought, now it's not live, but when I was watching it, it was live. And I thought, oh, my God, what an inspiration of a human being. And it's a testament to, you know, the work he did to do it. And he did it without ropes, no tethers, nothing. And he was married with two young kids and had the total support of his wife. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, what a message, an inspiration for all of us around this globe to watch this and to listen to the, and the humility that this man has. It gives me chills, Glenda, but it's everything, again, that ties into a bow and a package about all that was spoken about today. So, go to Jan.
Oh, thank you. And it just shows that when we're whole with something, our faith will take us completely through whatever difficulties we encounter. The answer is being whole with it. And this is why Yeshua taught us to love others as ourselves. Not to be self-depriving, not in that way, not to give everybody the same things we have. Not that. It's to literally be in the same state of wholeness with them, where life can do its redistribution. See, when we're whole with others, life does the redistribution for us. It takes energy we have, provides it for others. It takes energy others have, provide it for us for inspiration. Just like you've got to watch that, and you got a sense of completion on doing that. We complete the life of one another by being whole with them.
Really, it was. I know that it's on Netflix, and I'm sure it will be for a while. It's worth watching.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think she just called. I didn't mean to hang up, Susan, if I did or if you did yourself, but thank you for that. That was remarkable, and we will look into that. We do have one more caller from Canada. 514, your line is open.
Yeah, hi, Glenda. Stephen from Montreal.
I had a quick question.
Hi. I wasn't clear about the deep sleep. Like, is that an open system where the consciousness is open
Delta.
To...
Delta.
Okay. So that's the same as the whale under the ocean, or...?
Yeah, because you're not moving in ordinary time and space. You have access to motion that's coming through you. Just like the ocean has a surface with lots of turbulence on it. The same with our life. There's a lot of turbulence at the outer rim of our life, so to speak. And then there's the hub of the wheel that has no movement, but it definitely has motion.
Okay. Thanks, Glenda. I really appreciated your reading, and we read it, you know, before and after you've done it. So thank you.
Good. This was, this is one you really do need to read again. because it's so rich and so filling and actually easy to understand, but not easy to get the first time through.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Stephen.
All right. Well, Nancy, I think we need to move on.
We do. Our board is clear.
Great. All right. Well, you've got, you're in charge, so do what you need to do.
Let me put us in lecture mode.
Great. All right, everyone. If you're like me, you've been sitting for a while, and we got to get you in motion. Now you see, one of the reasons we move before receiving a blessing, we don't just stay still like we're growing into our chair or our bed. You know, you want to get up and get put some wheels under you, get motion, not just movement, but also a spirit of motion, which means you don't have to just walk around. You don't have to jump and do calisthenics. We just want you to stretch. Stretch your legs. Do it the best way you can. Stretch your arms. Move your torso around so that you stretch your spine a little bit. Bend forward and move your shoulders back. You know, we want to get internal motion happening, not big calisthenic jumps or squats or knee bends. We just want to get that internal motion going. It will activate your lymphatic system, which will improve your immunity. It will activate your circulatory system. You know, the thing is, even though your heart may be pumping naturally in a healthy, strong way, when you've been sitting for a while, it actually doesn't fully get a good flow down into your toes or into your fingers. And this is why your feet can feel a little stiff in the morning, even though you had a good night's sleep. You can tell how well, a good way to tell how well, how far your circulation went while you were sleeping is make a fist and see how tight you can make that fist. And then spread your fingers and see how far you can spread them. That'll tell you how much blood got into your hands, and it's probably going to be a little less getting into your feet because it had to travel a little further from your heart. That does not mean you've got any problems with your heart. You just were not allowing it to flow because you weren't moving. And it pumps, yeah, but you've got to get that movement. And this is excellent protection for extended health and life of your heart to make sure you get full extension into your extremities. You know, that's where your blood flow can slow down. That's where it could accumulate plaque if it's going to. That's where it could build up clots if it's going to. We pray it doesn't. We pray everything would be healthy. But the best way of keeping it healthy is with movement. Movement connects more fully and completely with deep open space than activity does. There is a lot of rethinking going on right now about strength training and calisthenics for life extension. There are a lot of trainers and a physical therapist rethinking the value of that. And they're going toward something a lot more gentle, everything from stretches to simple actions that just get your body moving. Movement is what you need to have for all the days of your life, because it takes you closer to the whole. How can a whale travel a million miles with less energy than a cruise ship can cross the ocean at the surface. Because at the surface, that cruise ship or battleship, what airline carrier, whatever vessel, kind of vessel it is, it is encountering so much resistance. It has to fight resistance in order to get from New York Harbor into London Harbor. That whale at the depth of the ocean just has to strike a harmonious river that flows at that level and follow it. And it travels at enormous speeds, quickly, with less resistance. This is what happens to you when you're at delta level of sleep, when you're in deep meditation. And this is why a lot of people are rethinking some of the therapeutic moves that create our deep motion. So just using that to recap what we're going to, what I've told you so many times in approaching the blessing, you're going to be seated, and all you're going to do is you're going to draw energy up from the earth through your feet, contacting whatever flooring or ground is beneath you. The earth is rich with energy, and it will flow through you with very little resistance, a little bit at the surface where there may be concrete or flooring, but it also helps if everything is from natural substances. And then from cosmic space, outer space, stratosphere, solar space, and so on, energy will flow in through the top of your head. You don't have to do anything to receive it. It will flow, and it will encircle your heart. Float. What comes in through the top will encircle your heart. It will go out through your feet. And it actually creates this flow of motion that flows through you at energetic frequencies so high that it can flow through you top to ground and ground to top, possibly hundreds, if not thousands of times, just in the course of one meditation. Nobody's ever measured that. So I'm just saying it's vast, and you're going to get a lot of it. But you've also got to receive. There's the other part of what we're going to get into. We're going to switch to our next chapter for next time. It's called Restoring the Temple. The temple is where you receive. We've got to be open to receive all of these blessings. We don't receive. There are blessings given to us all the time that we don't receive. This is why, actually, one of the keys to receiving is to ask. And we don't ask because God doesn't know what you need. We ask because He doesn't know if we want help with it. You know, it's kind of like kids with their parents. You know, a good parent will observe what a child needs, but let him or her do it as long as he or her can do it for themselves. And sometimes we try to help, and she'll say, "Hey, Mom, I got this. Let me do it." And you'll say, "Okay." And you're proud of her. All right? You don't overdo. You do enough to check in, but you don't overdo. And you keep the options sitting on a shelf in case she changes her mind and really does need help. Okay? That's the way, same way it works with God. You don't ask. It's still there, but you don't get it if you don't ask. So be sure and ask. And for heaven's sake, don't ask for the problem. Don't ask again for the problem. What would that be? Oh, Lord,
I've got this happening. I got to tell you about it. It's just, it's really bad. And I don't know if I can handle it anymore. I've just got to have relief from this. Try something like this. Oh, Lord, I know you've got this. I want release from all that I'm suffering and to be with you on the other side of it, knowing your peace and your bliss. Thank you for being with me in all things. Thank you for blessing me in all things. Don't get into the problem. He already knows. You don't want to solidify it. You want to be focusing on the resolution of it, the blessing of it, the other side of it. And you may say, well, you know, I do this, but it doesn't work for me. Oh, it works for you. You just haven't gotten there yet. And one of the reasons we don't have it yet is because there are more steps. You might need to open yourself to something else before you get that. In other words, you may need to let go of something to create the space for having something. There are progressions to the acquiring of blessing, and your Creator knows all of those progressions. We don't. And so we need to be open to receiving whatever we receive. We may need to receive an opportunity for growth in order to get to the next place of receiving an opportunity to meet someone who's got the answers, to move toward the next opportunity, to be where that blessing is going to be delivered to you. There are progressions to blessings. Be open to them. Every now and then, God will allow you to skip all the progressions because it's a dire, drastic need that has to be delivered immediately. Like being moved out of a potential auto accident. There's no room for getting you to a better driving school. You got to be pulled out of it. And then he will let you realize how to be a better driver in the future. There are times when we just need instant relief, and he'll know that. If you need instant relief, you will get it. And I have seen these miracles happening so many times. I have no loss of faith that it is possible. But a lot of times he does approach this, as any good parent would, to letting you learn how to remedy this for yourself in order to receive the fullness of the blessings that will come, which he will provide in fullness. He doesn't want to provide you with answers that relapse. Have you ever had let's just say something like a sinus infection? Not something life-threatening, but very annoying. And you apply some remedies. You think, oh, you know, I think I got this. That is great. And you give thanks and you get blessings. And the next day you wake up and it's back again. And this happens back and forth 5 or 6 times. And you get really exhausted. And you say, oh, Lord, please help me to understand the real reason for this. Take me to where I can totally let go and have permanent release. And he does. And in the process, you have let go of all of these superficial remedies you used because they won't work. You got to the basis of it, and it worked. So, you know, he teaches us. It's like this. You could give a man a fish and starve back his hunger, or could teach a man how to fish and feed him for the rest of his life. Well, which approach do you think your Heavenly Father is going to use, if it's possible, if it's time allowable? He's going to prefer to teach you how to fish. And so look for blessings that are sometimes microcosms within the macrocosm, but also look for the wholeness of getting everything put back into better order in your life. Because that better order in your life is what's going to remedy not just the one problem you have, but a whole lot more problems you may have had even before they came on board or you noticed it. So now we're going to, now I want you to sit, feet on the floor, head uncovered, semi-erect but comfortable, so that the blessing can flow through you. And blessing givers, will you join me in my prayer to Yeshua? Oh Lord, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for being with everyone who went through this very dangerous and challenging winter storm. We know that you're scared. Give them comfort. Give them peace. Let them know that they will be rescued. They will be taken out of this. Help them to see sunshine on the other side and to experience the beauty of love from everybody else, wishing them safety and the best as they go through it. That experience of love is priceless and precious. Let them feel it. And we ask the same blessing for anyone on our earth and among all of our people going through whatever crisis may be engulfing their life, that they feel the love of others as they go through it. May they be rescued soon, and may the rescue bring peace and light and more love. As we move closer and better toward being the family we were created to be, we ask that you hear all the prayers of everyone in our community now, praying for themselves or those they love. And we ask that you hear all the prayers going forth around our world for people loving others, that their love may be applied to the betterment and the benefit of others, as their heart would wish. Let our hearts have its reward of knowing that it makes a difference in the life, not only of themselves, but of everyone. That their love is a candle in the darkness for everyone. And we hold it brightly. And we hold it as you have asked us to do, in service to our Creator, in gratitude to you, in respect and honor to the Holy Spirit who guides us and directs us toward better use of life and all the blessings we have been given. Now, we ask all of these things in your precious and glorious name, knowing that you will be with us and bless us as we offer our prayer for all that we would like to see improved in life, all that we would like to be forgiven of, all that we would like to create and forward in blessing. That we may be helped by a league of angels, the Holy Spirit, and your Sacred Heart. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now as we conduct the energy of this blessing, that it may combine into a powerful motion of life and love and the flow of God.
the grace of God. Let us begin.
Amen. 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 Your blessing has been given. Now I want you to just finish receiving. Lie down, either on your bed, the sofa, a mat on the floor, whatever your climate allows. Just be. Don't even continue your prayer, because that will involve words and concepts. And that involves parts and pieces. Just allow your body to be level, all parts on the same plane, and simply receive. And it's totally okay if you fall asleep. At least 7 minutes. I wish you my blessings and all the blessings of life. A wonderful week and safety wherever you are. Again, amen.